and one.
One baptism.
One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. What kind of church are we in? I need a little more help than that. What kind of church are we in? We're in the sanctified church. Hallelujah. Amen. Where the Lord is in charge. Anybody need to hear a word from God today? You know, when we come to church, it's all right for somebody to stand back here, but if they don't have a word, we need them to move out the way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need to hear a word from the Lord. Amen. We thank God, hallelujah, for the service. We thank God for all that he's doing. Amen. How many of you know we have some challenges? Anybody in here don't have a challenge? Anybody living has challenges? And I'm going to give you the title of our message in advance so you can, what do they call it when you put that meat in there? Marinate on it. I ain't too much of a cook, but I do listen. I let you marinate on it for a few minutes before we start, right? A blessing is born out of adversity.
Right.
A blessing is born out of adversity. You know, a lot of times when you think of adversity, and when you look at adversity, a lot of times we have the tendency to think that we messed up and that God is angry at us. But how many know God brings us through the fire? Amen. Scripture, he brings us through the flood because God knows the way that we should take. I heard Job saying, he knows that when he has tried me, that I shall come forth as. When he has tried, God puts us through the test. So a lot of times we look at adversity as though it's a negative and as though God is angry with us. Now, what is adversity? Adversity is trouble. Adversity is misfortune. Adversity is hardships. Adversity is difficulties. Adversity is the unexpected trial that I did not see come. That's adversity. But there's a blessing if you go through the adversity. I'm going to talk a little bit before I make y'all sin, because I know y'all ain't as young as I am. You know, and I'm going to have mercy on all of you old people. All right? All you all that can't dance like David dance, can't shout like David shout, can't get up and let the Lord. I'm going to give y'all a chance to rest. Amen? So I'm going to let us young people. Do I have any young people in here? Can I get some witnesses, some young people? Hallelujah. Y'all make you feel. I throw that old folks stuff out. Let me say, oh, you're old. I said, I am not old. Amen. I challenge any young person that we ever win, but I do have a mind to challenge.
Right.
Amen. But adversity, those are hardships. Those are difficulties. Those are challenges that will stop you in your track. Now, can we go a little educated a little bit? So apostolic preachers do have some education, right? Zig Ziglar, who's a motivational speaker and an author, said it's not the aptitude, it's not the knowledge, but it's the attitude that determines your altitude. It's not your aptitude. How many know they said that possible are ignorant and unlearned? Hallelujah. But then I heard them say they turned the world upside down. So it wasn't the aptitude, but it was the attitude that determined the
altitude.
And I heard Paul tell the Galatian church, be not weary.
Well do it.
Be not weary in.
Well do it.
You don't have to worry about the aptitude. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you're going to
reap.
If you what?
Faint not.
So adversity. When you look at adversity, I read someone said, I'm going to paraphrase it my way, amen, because I'm the one speaking, so can I do it? Can somebody say, do it my way?
Do it my way.
As long as you stay in the Lord. If I get out the Lord, then I can't do it my way. Amen, but I heard someone say adversity to some is a dead end street. Adversity to some is a dead end street when they don't have the right attitude. But adversity to others is nothing more than a detour. to get you to where you have to go. So I'm saying today, we all have adversity. But is your adversity a dead end street? Is your adversity a cul-de-sac? Hallelujah. A dead end street, when you get there, you just finish. A cul-de-sac, you can just move and come on back out. Hallelujah. Because you're going to find a way where there is
no way.
So a blessing can be born out of adversity. But what determines if it's going to be a blessing or not is the frame of mind that we have in going into it. But that's it. Now let us all stand, young and old. And we're going to go to Genesis, the 50th chapter. Amen. Genesis 50th chapter, we're going to read verses 12, and we will conclude by reading verse 20 altogether. A very familiar story, the story of Joseph. How many know Joseph had some adversity? Mm-hmm. Joseph went through some stuff, and he didn't do anything wrong. So every time you go through stuff, stop letting the devil play in your mind and say, what did I do wrong? You know, crying out. Just say, Lord, help me to go through it. Because on the other side of the adversity, there is a blessing. Amen. Verse 12 reads, and his sons did unto him according as he had commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in a cave of Machpelah, which Abraham brought with the field for a possession of a burial place of Ephron, the Hittite, before Mamre. And Joseph returned into the Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the service of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for your presence being in this place. Lord, except you come by here. Lord, except you stop by. Lord, except your presence is here, we do everything in vain. But Lord, we ask you on this afternoon to speak. Lord, someone is hungry. Lord, someone is thirsting after righteousness. Now your word declares that if we would hunger and thirst after righteousness, then we shall be filled. Lord, fill some soul to overflow. Lord, fill some mind, hallelujah, that the adversary is trying to destroy. Lord, feed us through thy word. Lord, the word of God says thy word was found, and we did eat it, and it became the joy and the rejoicing of our soul. Now speak to us through thy word. Send thy word to heal, send thy word to deliver, and send thy word to set free. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. How can a blessing come out of adversity? You know, you ask yourself, how can God bless me when I've had nothing but trouble? Amen. Joseph is a prime example. The scripture says when he dreamed a dream, I don't even know how. We were here last week, right? This wasn't by plan. Weren't we here last week? This wasn't by plan, but how many of you, when God speaks, you just go ahead and follow? Amen. When I was reading this, I said, wait a minute. We were just in the vicinity. We weren't in the exact verse, but we were in the vicinity last week when others don't understand what you're going through. Amen. But Joseph dreamed a dream. His father couldn't understand it. Mother didn't understand it. His brethren didn't understand it. And a matter of fact, when he dreamed a dream, his brothers got angry and jealous. And the scripture says they hated him the more. Hallelujah. Adversity in your own. Can somebody say adversity in your own house? The very one that you should feel comfortable with. Hallelujah. Adversity in your house. The scripture said about Jesus, you gotta watch the house. Now this ain't, don't take this literally. Amen. So, Pastor, I gotta watch you. No, I'm not talking about like that, alright? I'm talking about be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil walketh about as a Jesus said, the scripture said he could have taken it if it was an enemy that betrayed him. But it was a friend. You know, when you're around people and you're comfortable with them, you let your guard down. When you're around people, that's where you got to keep the guard up. Because you know when somebody's your enemy, you got to look out for them. But when you're around a friend, you let the guard down, and the devil said, now I can jump on them because they're not watching. Didn't Jesus tell his apostles? He said, watch and. A lot of them are supreme, but we're not. But nevertheless, Joseph with his brethren, and they hated him the more, and they purposed their own brother. They were going to kill him. Because they didn't understand the way that God was directing and leading Joseph, so they wanted to kill him. But thank God for the older brother. He said, don't kill him. Let's just put him in the pit. Because Reuben had intended to free Joseph. But Reuben left, and while he was gone, Judah said, let's sell him into slavery. Had he done anything wrong? No. But he is now facing adversity. So his brethren sell him to the Ishmaelites, who's really a relative, right? Mm-hmm. Ishmael, Isaac, he's just a relative. Right. So they sell him to a relative, and the relative said, we can make more money for you if we sell you into Egypt. To Potiphar. So they sell him to Potiphar in Egypt. And here he's in Egypt, has done nothing wrong, sold into slavery, adversity. But the scripture said the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. You want a blessing in your adversity? Then just keep the Lord. I've been in church for a few years, right? Not as long as others, but I've been in church for a long time, and I've heard a lot of people say, you know what, I used to do good. But I figure, what's the use? Every time I do something good, I receive evil anyway. So, well, difference doesn't make. It makes a difference. Because when you do good, that means the Lord is. But when you do what you want to do, then the Lord cannot help you. So I've seen so many people turn their back on God because they say, it doesn't matter whether I do good or bad. God's not. God is with you. But Joseph, 17 years old, went through it. So first he sold to the Ishmaelites. He comes out of a pit, he sold to the Ishmaelites, then he sold to Potiphar. Then he's in Potiphar's house doing what is expected of him, and the devil is there too. Whenever God is with you, and this is why the church loses the advantage. We say, wow, God is blessing. And then we let down our spiritual guard. We stop watching, we stop praying, and then before you know it, the devil has attacked us like a roaring lion trying to devour us. But the scripture said we ought to resist him steadfast in the faith. You know what that means? Stay with God. Only way that you can get a blessing out of adversity is you got to keep the faith. Amen. So then Joseph goes through all of that. Joseph goes to prison, and then he's delivered out of prison. And now he's in Pharaoh's court, or he's in Pharaoh's administration. And he brings his father and his brethren from down in Canaan to Egypt because of how severe the famine was. And while they're there, Jacob dies. You know when somebody does you wrong, I'm going to tell you something right now, they don't forget. In the blessing, they may act like they forgot. But when anyone does you wrong, they do not forget. But you still have the obligation, the scripture says, to forgive them. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because I heard Jesus say, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, hallelujah, neither will your heavenly Father. So you know what I mean? Let's just stay in God. You know, somebody said, I had many sorrows and hardships and pains, but through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon His Word. How did you do it? I went through it, Hallelujah. So now, the brethren remember, after the father died, we remember the evil. They said there was evil and they called it sin. When someone does you wrong, you don't have to remind them. I was talking to my wife the other day. She said, you think such and such? I said, yeah, I know they got it when they get it right. And God has a step. He has a procedure for getting things right. You can't just say, well, God, forgive me. But He said, if your brethren have aught against you, you just have to do what? And you got to go to your son down at the altar. Oh, Jesus. And I'm speaking in tongues and I'm praying and I'm shouting. So I said, wait a minute. Now you know your brother got off with you. I ain't gonna say it long, so y'all get quiet, because this wasn't in the script. I ask you to keep notes. If I do notes, then I say on course, but that ain't in course, all right? But if your brother has all against you, he said, leave your gift at the altar, and then go reconcile your difference with your brother. Amen? That's what the word of God says. But how many know in the 21st, isn't it the 21st century? Yes. The 21st century church has a way of not following God's word because of the masses. But you still got to do it God's way if you want a blessing to come through your adversity. So his brother remembered that they had sinned against Joseph, and they make up something saying that our father said to send to you and make sure that you forgive us. And Joseph, because when you got a right spirit, you know what? The only thing you see is God. When your spirit is right, you don't see the individual. You don't see the trouble. All you see is that Joseph could have said, man, if Joseph was us, right? If Joseph were you. You want me to forgive you? Do you know what my life was like for 13 years? Because they sold him in bondage when he was 17 and he didn't get delivered until he was 30? And there's Joseph with you. Right? Right about now, what would you be saying? Forgive you? I've been waiting for our father to die, so I'm getting up. But Joseph had a right spirit. The Bible said, they broken in the contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Joseph had a right spirit. Hallelujah. And Joseph said, am I in the place of God? Joseph said, listen, I can't take care of what God has to take care of. That's God's business. He said, all I can tell you is that you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. And if we read that verse, he said, you meant it for evil, and God meant it for good. Can you go back, I think, to 12 for 1 second? He said, God meant it for good. No, I'm sorry, go back to the one you just said. I'm sorry. I messed you up a little bit. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is. You know what Joseph said? I can't remember all that stuff in the past because this is a new day. I'm not going to look at you based on yesterday. You know, if we, just to go off track just a little bit, say go off track. Can I go off track a little bit? I'm going to go just a little bit. I'm wrong talked to a lot of people in my life. I am not perfect. I messed up. If everybody I wrong retaliated against me, I'd be miss me. That's it. So I know I wronged a lot of people. I've done a lot of things. Amen. When my kids are growing up, I mess up a lot. Come on, y'all, give me an amen. I've been waiting for this. I got all the way down to Georgia and back anyway, so I already know. All right? Let me ask this. When you travel on a long way, don't take your children with you. Let them ride another vehicle. All right? Especially when you got to ride 16 hours. Amen. That's just a cycle. But I know my children in the past. God is my witness. I made a lot of mistakes. Now, if my kids were to hold that against me, where would I be? Yes, a lot of people have wronged me in the past. But if I hold that against them, where would I be? I'm just going to say on the children, because you save safe with the children. Because you don't have to go home with them, so that's good enough. Amen. But we have a tendency to keep resurrecting everyone else's wrong as though we have been perfect. And I heard the word of God say that's not perfect. No, that's not perfect. No, not one. So all in answer to what Joseph was saying, you know, he said, if God with this count of iniquity, who then will be able to stand? So Joseph said, am I in the stead of God? But the land part said, he said, this day to save much people alive. That adversity turned into a blessing. And that's why they say Joseph is a type of Christ. Because though he was afflicted, torn, and battered, he brought salvation to his people. We look at adversity as though God is angry with us. When the attitude is right and you see the adversity, we say, Lord, I understand. Irregardless of what I'm suffering and going through, I'm going to stand because I'm determined to give me a blessing out of this adversity. I don't see this adversity as a dead end. I don't see it as a stop sign, but it's a temporary detour to get me to where God is trying to take me. So my attitude is of such, Lord, I don't understand it, but thank you anyhow. Lord, I don't like it, but thank you anyhow. Lord, if I have my way, I'll change it, but I thank you anyhow. That's the right attitude. In church, we like to point too many fingers at people about all they've done. You know what I've learned through the years? The Bible says, love thinking. Y'all gonna help me? Love thinking. So when you don't really know the truth, how you gonna come up with some evil? Well, whatever we do, we're supposed to do it out of love. Love thinking, no evil. The Bible says, and love rejoices not in iniquity. In other words, it said, love don't keep a record of wrong. But love rejoices in the truth. What is the truth? Jesus saved me and I'm so glad. The Lord made a way for me and I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Lord, if you were to mark iniquity, I wouldn't be able to stand. But I'm so glad. A blessing is born out of adversity. Now, if we follow the life of Moses, Moses was down in Egypt after he came after Joseph. And the scripture lets us know around the age of 40, Joseph watched the Egyptian wrongfully treating his brother, and he went out to deliver them. And as a result, he killed one of the Egyptians and buried him in the sand. Then he went and told Pharaoh. So the adversity caused Moses to flee. Moses had to flee because Pharaoh said, you killed one of mine, and I brought you into my house. I'm going to kill you. Now, only one hiring in all of Egypt at this time was Pharaoh. But I heard the scripture said Moses chose to suffer with the people of God. than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. For yes, there is pleasure in sin. But can we make a stand for God? Moses chose. Anybody, you have a choice. No one can make you do anything. You have a choice. Moses chose to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now Moses was 40, and the next time Moses has an encounter with God, Moses is now 80. Wait a minute, what did Moses do for 40 years before God told Moses, he said, now I'm going to use you? Right? You said, wait a minute, Moses was trying to, all he was trying to do was help the people of God. Why did God take Moses away for 40 years? Because God was trying to teach Moses a lesson through adversity. In Egypt, Moses was in Pharaoh's house, and the Pharaoh, if you read about it, I believe it's in Genesis chapter 46, verses 32 through 34. Now Moses was a what? A Hebrew. Right? But now Moses is in Pharaoh's house. So in order for Moses to be in Pharaoh's house, Moses had to follow the customs of Pharaoh. So the scripture said the Jews were, or the Hebrews were an abomination to the Egyptians. Those that were shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. So the very thing that Moses grew up for 40 years despising, God takes him out on the backside of the mountain. And he said, now you're going to be a shepherd. You know what? All that stuff you learned down in Egypt, God said, I got to break that out of you. Somebody said, well, how come I didn't get there yet? Because God has to break some stuff out of you. So Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house from a baby. Yes, he knew that he had a blood tie to the Hebrews, but he learned some bad stuff. He learned the ways of the Egyptians. He learned the caste system. That the Egyptians said, we're better than the Hebrews. The Hebrews are an abomination. You say, well, how can you say that? Remember when Joseph and his brethren came? And even when Joseph set food out, Joseph set food out for himself, but he set out separate food in a separate place for his brothers. Why? Because it was an abomination for the Jew to eat or be in the presence of the Egyptians. So all of these traditions and training are now in Moses. Now, you know, when you read the scripture, it's important to pay particular attention to what God writes. Because when God called Moses out of the burning bush, he didn't call him on the front side of the desert where everybody was at. God called him on the back side where there was nobody back there but Moses and the Lord. God knows how to use your adversity to separate you from everybody else so he can get your attention. If God had called Moses on the front side, Moses would have been distracted by everybody else. But when God isolated him, when God separated him, the scripture said, Moses turned aside and he saw a bush that was burning, but it was not being consumed. And because Moses saw the bush burning and it wasn't being consumed, Moses said, let me go investigate this to see what's going on. Then as Moses began to approach the bush, the Lord says, Moses, Moses, stop! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And take off your shoes, because the place where thou standest is holy ground. Hallelujah! But he called Moses out of the burning bush and he got Moses' attention. He said, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. What you started to do 40 years ago, he said, now you are ready. The problem is a lot of us started doing some stuff when we were not yet. You weren't ready. So God has to take us through adversity to break us of our own will and then to prepare us for what he wanted us to do. So God many times has to pockets are full of money. As long as you're living where you want to live and drive what you want to drive, you don't have, we take God for granted. Hallelujah. But let some hardship come. Let some difficulties come. Let some challenges come. Then you begin to cry out to God. Well, God had to take Moses. You say, well, Moses was a, God spoke to Moses face to face, right? Why did it take God 40 years? 40 years in Midian as a shepherd. Now remember, in Egypt, the shepherds were despised. They were abomination. Moses had nothing to do with shepherds in Egypt. God said, for 40 years, the very thing you despise is what I'm going to have you do. You know, sometimes God has us do things that we don't like to break our will. There are many times that God uses adversity and make us do things, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. God said, but I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. God said, because I'm trying to give you an expected end when a blessing is born out of your adversity. Somebody said, I don't like the job that I'm at. You just glorify God. Because promotion, elevation, I don't like it. You know what the Bible said, let everything. Anybody got some breath today? Let everything that has breath praise you. Amen. In all things, we are to give some thanks. Stop complaining and murmuring and praise God. Because God said, you didn't get it yet. So you didn't get it, I got to create another adversity. Because I have not yet. Sometimes we just cry and bewail and do all of this before God. God said, I don't have your attention. Cry all you want to cry, but I don't have your attention. And then we go to God and say, God, did I do anything wrong? God said, no, I just don't have your attention. Because God cannot do anything with you until he gets your full attention. Somebody said, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say about Moses. How about John? The Bible says that John, during Domitian, Emperor Domitian's rule, he was preaching everywhere about Jesus. Even in the persecution, he went down to Ephesus, and he was preaching Jesus. And they and Emperor Domitian got angry at him and said, stop preaching in that name. And John said, no, sir, I am the beloved disciple, the Lord loveth. So he kept preaching. So what did he do? Now, it's not in the Bible, but history, all historians agree, they threw him in a cauldron of oil. Right? Hot oil. But when he threw him in the oil, God was Lord. That's what I'm saying. Whatever you go through, keep the Lord with you. So John is down in the oil, and they're expecting him to his demise, but God was with him, and he kept on preaching. So the emperor said, what is this? This is something unusual. This is something different. When I throw people in oil, they're not supposed to keep doing what they're doing. So the emperor said, wait a minute, I can't kill him this way. He said, you know what, just exile that man to the Isle of Patmos. Patmos was nothing but a rocky island. Nothing grew there. Fruit, vegetable, nothing grew in Patmos. But he sent John there, but John was fruitful in a barren land. John was fruitful in a barren land. Why? Because God was with him. Was John going through adversity? Yes. But if John had adversity, we wouldn't have the book of Revelations. So through John's adversity, there was a blessing born. And I heard him say, I was in the spirit on the Lord's sake. Hallelujah. I don't care what anybody wants to do to you. You just stay in the spirit. Hallelujah. Don't you let nobody stop you. Don't you let nobody turn you around. You keep on fighting for God. You keep I'm saved. 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 keeping, the words of this testimony will be blessed. Anybody need a blessing? You need to read the word of God. You need to hear the word of God. Then you need to keep the word of God, and you will have a blessing. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Can I hear somebody say a blessing? Hallelujah. Lord, bless me. And bless me right now. Lord, bless me. And bless me right now. Everybody might be mad at me. How would you bless me? The blessing. The scripture says this. The blessing of the Lord, he made it rich. And our God, when he blesses you, he won't add no sorrow. So right now, you got to fight in spite of your adversity won't overtake you, because God will be fighting your battles. We have a tendency. You know what? I can tell you right now, I never quit. In school, we learned this. Y'all can sit down for a minute. In school, we learned this. Quitters never
win.
And winners
never quit.
Are you a winner or a quitter? Are you a winner? Are you a quitter? If you're a winner, then you won't. If you're a quitter, then you won't.
Win.
What are you? Now, I read Bishop G.T. Haywood. He said, no one knows us better than ourselves. No one knows your heart better than you. You know why you're in the state that you're in because you know yourself. But until you decide to pick up your cross and follow him daily and deny yourself, you'll never get the blessing. You can never be John. Now listen, John was around all the apostles, he preached, but he didn't get the revelations that God isolated him. Because then God had his what? Full attention. God called Moses on the backside of the desert when he had Moses
full attention.
God blessed and elevated Joseph when he had Joseph
full attention.
The problem is we have given God part attention, but God needs your
full attention.
So the blessing is indeed on the way. Your adversity is not a dead end, it's a cul-de-sac. You can come out of that. You don't have to stay. When you go to the cul-de-sac, you just wrap around and come on back out. But a lot of us have allowed our adversity to stop us. We're not going anywhere. We're not even doing for God. The Bible says the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word of God in our lives, and we become
unfruitful.
Many of us have become unfruitful in Christ because of adversity. Because of something somebody else did to you. I heard Paul say, what fault do you find in the Savior? What fault? Paul said, I don't know about you, but I find no fault. So if there's no fault in the Savior, when things don't go right, why do we take it out on God? When you things don't work out right, why do you take it out on God? When you get adversity, why do you quit? The scripture said Paul, after he was persecuted, after he was beaten, Antioch and all those places, he said he went back to every place that he was persecuted and afflicted, confirming the souls of the saints and encouraging them that we shall through much tribulation is adversity. You're going to have adversity. We shall do much tribulation enter into the many of the afflictions. That's adversity. But do you know the Lord knows how to deliver them out of them? Oh, there's a blessing in adversity if you don't quit, if you don't give up. And you know, now how many know the devil is pretty smart? He said, you know what? I'm going to get your best friend. I'm going to get the person that you like to talk to. Maybe it could be your mother. It could be your father. I'm going to get someone real close to you to give you some bad advice. Somebody's like, how do I know it's bad advice? If it ain't in the word, it's what? Bad advice. If it's not in the scripture, then it is. I heard the late Bishop Norman Wagner say, there are a lot of people that give you advice, but then there are people that will give you godly counsel. There is a difference. There is a difference. A lot of people will give you advice, but that advice is based on their life experiences. But counsel is from the mouth of God. The reason that some of our lives are so interwoven and tied up in trouble is because we've been getting too much. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that what?
Walketh not.
Walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of them. But his. Anybody needs something like this afternoon? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You need a blessing. You need God to help you. When you meditate day and night, listen, then you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. As we all stand, the altar workers come forward. Our last illustration. We've heard it before. Adversity. Adversity builds a foundation in you spiritually. Last week we went over the fact that if the foundation be destroyed, what will the righteous? If the foundation is God's word. If you build on anything other than a sure foundation, when the storms of life and the winds blow, you will begin to sink. If you don't stay on the foundation. The Chinese bamboo tree, we've gone over this in the past, and if you haven't heard it, we'll repeat it for your sake now. The Chinese bamboo tree has to go through adversity. You plant it the first year, you fertilize it, you water it, and nothing grows. Now, many of us could be the Chinese bamboo tree, because if it don't grow in the first year, we just get mad, take the seed up and plant it. So, you know what that means in church? If it didn't work for you in this church, you just get mad and plant it over here. Then if it didn't work on this church, you get mad and plant it over there. But it's a Chinese bamboo tree. The first year you nourish it, you water it, you fertilize it, nothing grows. You do the same thing the second year. For 4 years, you take care of something and nothing grows. Now, at the end of the first year, most people will quit. The second year, you're like, this is a waste of my time. So at the end of 4 years, nothing grows. But then all of a sudden, in the fifth year, the Chinese bamboo tree grows to 90 feet in 5 weeks because you didn't quit. 90 feet in 5 weeks. You know why it took so long to grow? Because the foundation of the roots were going down deep. In order for you to stand the test, you gotta let the roots go down deep. If the tree grew too fast, then the roots would not be able to sustain it. So God knows what your adversity is doing in your life. He knows if you let adversity to get your roots down deep. Remember.